This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We have a public holiday on Friday. Welcome to Jumu'ah. No public holiday from Jumu'ah. And alhamdulillah, the 27th of April marks 21 years since our first free and fair democratic election. The end of apartheid, the beginning of the new age in the Rainbow Nation. Day. The day in which alhamdulillah Allah has brought us out of tyranny, out of oppression, out of zulm and darkness, and gave us an opportunity to have a better future. Many of our parents, many of these sitting here, we know firsthand, better than I know, better than us youngsters, we know about the evils that we have to live under oppression. We know that you are inferior, that you are lower down purely because of the color of your skin. That this area is meant for a certain class of people, and that area is meant for you. And you can't own this. We know all these things. This is dhulm and of the evils. We spoke about last week the evils of racism. In fact, it was racism, one of the first sins that Iblis did, one of the sins which caused him to be cursed, was that he was a racist. And he had a right in a way, because he's superior. Fire is superior than clay. What superiority is there in the lightness and the fairness of your skin? This is evil. So alhamdulillah, on this day we give shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just for the holiday, but for bringing us out of oppression. How many people never ever lived to see that day, and how many people across the world pray, and they look at South Africa and they will say, we model and we hope that that same miracle you people have achieved, we can have it in our own land. So we celebrate this day. And it is a reminder, when we think of the end of oppression and the bringing down of tyranny, it is a stern reminder from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that oppression will never ever survive on this earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always belittle the oppressor. He will always bring the oppressor to his knees. It will happen. It is a sunnah of Allah. It is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a reminder to the oppressed people of the dunya that a day will come. Allah promises and swears and guarantees in the Quran. And who is more truthful to his promise than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the oppressed people of the world, you will find one day there is an end to this oppression. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to anyone, and not only just in terms of oppression, financial difficulty, illnesses, heartache, headache, any difficulty, Allah says, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرَى إِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantees you that when there is hardship, they will come ease. That after this difficult period, and Allah repeats the ayah twice. Why Allah repeats it twice? Ulama mentioned, if you look at your life, for every difficult day, there are far more easy days. For every days of hardship, Allah guarantees you, there will be easier and better days ahead. Verily indeed, with hardship comes ease. Indeed, Allah says, verily, surely, with hardship will come ease. And Allah reminds those who goes through difficulty, and how many of the people of this dunya, today there is somebody dying of starvation. There is somebody who has given up hope of his life. Some person that is better than us in ibadah, that is fasting and making salah and has given charity, is going through terrible difficulty. Some people in the world who have given so much more to the deen have so much less than us in terms of the dunya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them and to us when we go through difficulty, do you think that you will enter Jannah without such difficulty, without such trials, as came to those who passed away before you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that before you, people had it hard. And when you go through difficulty, it is the sunnah of those before you. In fact, Allah says, those people of the past, they were affected with such severe poverty and sickness, and they were shaken to such an extent. Things were so bad that even the messenger, even the Rasul, their messenger, not Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the Rasul, those people's messenger, and those who believed along with him, and those Sahaba, they were pushed to such a limit, till they said, when will the help of Allah come? The Nabi, not Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but a Rasul from amongst the messengers said, things are so tough, when will Allah make it easy for us? When will Allah's help come? Allah says, yes, certainly the help of Allah is qareeb. The Nasr of Allah is near. Don't you lose hope and lose faith. Allah says, I promise you, I see it, it's coming. You just have patience. So this is a guarantee from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of hardship. And we, alhamdulillah, we have seen it ourselves 20 years ago. We saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought an end to oppression and gave us a new opportunity.
And therefore, it's a reminder to all the dictators and the criminals of the world. You don't only have to be the president to be a dictator. A tyrant can be in the home, an abusive father. A tyrant can be in the office, an abusive boss. The tyrant can be in your street, in your road. The criminal that steals, the criminal that abuses, all of these are tyrants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns them and tells them clearly, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعْلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ. Have you not seen, Allah says to all the oppressors and to all the people of the world, have you not seen what your Lord did to Ad? إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ. The people of Ad, they were the most powerful people on the face of the earth. Allah says, in fact, أَلَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ. The likes of Ad has never been created on the earth. Their city was built of towers, mighty city. They don't exist anymore. Allah destroyed them completely with wind. Gone. Not a trace of Ad exists. Look at how I dealt with Ad. And Thamud, who used to bring out their homes from mountains. They would carve homes inside their mountains. Till today, if you go to Saudi Arabia, you'd find the city of Thamud still there. The mountains stand there. The homes of Thamud is still there. But they are gone, disappeared. And Fir'aun, the mightiest, powerful man on the face of the earth. The one that punished people with stakes and who said, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. He was so powerful that he said to his people, I don't know of a Lord other than me. There's no one greater than me. Is there anyone more powerful than me? I am the Lord of the world. Allah says, look at how I dealt with Ad and Thamud and Fir'aun, that they increased corruption in the land. So your Lord poured over them punishment and torment. They disappeared. Every tyrant and oppressor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you think you're greater than Ad and Thamud and Fir'aun? You are small compared to them. And look where they are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with you as well. And so, warning to all the oppressors in the world, in Israel, in America, in Europe, in Russia, in Central African Republic, in Syria, in Iran, in Iraq, in Burma, in Chechnya, in Libya, in every corner of the world, every tyrant, oppressor, criminal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look how I dealt with those before you. Your time is coming. Your time is coming. This is the seriousness of oppression. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, all of us, that the one who really is harmed the most by oppression is the oppressor himself. The tyrant himself will be the worst of the worst in terms of his oppression. Allah says to us, لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون. Don't deal unjustly. Don't oppress someone and you shall not be dealt unjustly. How you are treated in this dunya and the akhirah will depend on how you treat others in the dunya, how you deal with your money, with your anger, with your strength, with your goodness or evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with you in the very same way. Deal not unjustly, Allah says, and you shall not be dealt with unjustly. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu narrates from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who narrates from Allah, it's a hadith Qudsi. Allah himself speaks. Allah says to insan, O my servants, this is Allah speaking, right? Allah controls the heavens and the earth. If Allah takes something from one of his creation, no one can force him to give it back. For us sometimes, the only reason why we don't oppress and harm others is because we're afraid someone is going to retaliate against us. So therefore we behave. No one can retaliate against Allah. The only one that keeps Allah in check is Allah himself. So Allah says, O my servant, I have forbidden oppression for myself. Every atom, every drop, every animal in this creation, I have dealt with him with justice and kindness. Even Iblis, Allah gave him his chance. Allah gave him his opportunity. Allah says, I don't oppress and have made haram for myself oppression and have made it forbidden for you. So do not oppress one another. If it's haram for Allah, what is haram for Allah? Allah says, haram for Allah is oppression. Then how haram is it for us? How haram is it for us? Allah says, I've made it haram on myself and for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Allah will torment those who torment people in this world. A promise, a guarantee. Allah will torment them in this dunya and in the akhirah. In Sahih Muslim, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and how we are resurrected on Qiyamah will be dependent on how we live our life. How we are resurrected, therefore make this dua, ya Allah, let us be resurrected amongst Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his sahaba, in his company. If you're resurrected with the best, you belong with that group. When you're resurrected, you'd find your state. May Allah protect us, how you will be. Some will be resurrected, as Allah says, blind. And say, ya Allah, I could see in the dunya. Why am I blind? You were really blind in the dunya. You never looked and took note of my ayat, my warning, my warnings. Some will be resurrected, beautiful, long-necked. Who are they? The mu'adhins, who used to call people, hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah. They will stand out in Qiyamah. And this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you and me, insha'Allah, will be resurrected and we will shine better than any other ummah. Why? Ghurran muhajjaleen. They will shine like the horse who has black hair with a white mane. That's ghurran muhajjaleen. Min athari al-wudu. Because of the excessive nature of wudu that this ummah does. No other ummah, and you can see this for yourself, any other group of people, wash themselves 5 times a day. And this will be a shining for this ummah. So the ummah of Muhammad will be resurrected shining. Their face, their hands, their feet will be shining from the wudu. The oppressor, be on your guard, Nabi Muhammad says, against committing oppression. For oppression is a darkness in the day of resurrection. There will be a group of people who will be resurrected with blackness around them, darkness like a cloud, like a smoke around them, so dark that they cannot see outside of it. People will know those are the tyrants, so dark. Allah not only takes away their sight, He takes away everything of their senses. Everything will be gone. They'll be in pitch blackness on Qiyamah, not knowing where the torment. And people will know those are the tyrants. Right? Those are the tyrants. The dua of the oppressed is something to be afraid of, Jamaat al-Muslimin. If you have harmed someone and taken of someone's haqq, and he makes dua against you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that dua. And it inflicts harm on you in this dunya and in the akhirah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to his governor, Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, the greatest faqih of this ummah, the greatest scholar of this ummah is Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends him as the ambassador to Yemen when Yemen becomes Muslim. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gives Mu'adh instructions. What should I do? He says, oh Mu'adh, you will go to the people of the book. You'll go to a people that were Christian. People of Yemen were Christian. First thing you do, oh Mu'adh, call them to La ilaha illallah. Call them to worship one Allah alone. And that Muhammad is the messenger. If they accept, then inform them that Allah has made salah compulsory on them 5 times a day. Right? This is the order of priority. If they accept, then inform them that it is compulsory on them that you need to pay the zakah. So take from the rich, and listen to this hadith, take from the rich and give to the poor. Don't, ya Mu'adh, take the money and bring to Medina for me. No. You feed the poor people of Yemen with the money of Yemen. Doesn't go back to Medina. Right? And then Nabi Sallam advises Mu'adh. Then he advises him. If they accept and you get to take their zakah, then beware of and refrain from taking their most prized possessions. Don't be excessive in taking zakah, because this will be oppression. When you tax the people of Yemen, do so lightly, kindly, softly. Refrain from being excessive. Why? Because beware of the dua of the oppressed. For there is no hijab, there is no barrier between that dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama mentioned, even if the people of Yemen were not Muslim, Hadith says, even if the non-Muslim person makes dua against you, the Muslim, because you oppressed him, Allah accepts that dua. Maybe they're telling the Sahabi, beware when you take zakah. Zakah is for you, Allah. If you take 1 rand more zakah and he makes dua against you, it's going to be a punishment for you in the dunya and in the akhirah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, further onto this hadith, there are 3 persons in supplication. Their dua is never ever rejected. Allah guarantees he accepts that dua. And you will see the effect of that dua in the dunya, or it will have something else. You make dua, ya Allah, grant me this, and Allah gives you even better than that, or in the akhirah. Or Allah keeps away a catastrophe you didn't see coming. You were supposed to have an accident. But you made that dua, you think Allah didn't accept that dua, but He averted that catastrophe. So Allah says, there are 3 people. When they raise their hands and they make dua, Allah does not reject those duas. Who are those? Number one, the just ruler, the leader who is fair and just. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us leaders that are just. Leaders that you can look up to, aspire to follow. Right? So number one, the leader who is fair and just. Number two, the fasting person. When he breaks his fast, when we all get to achieve Ramadan, and we can fast that full month and make 50 days of dua after we break our fast from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thirdly, the oppressed one when he supplicates. And in supplication, Allah says the oppressed one, in supplication, is raised above the clouds, and the gates of the heavens are open for it. And Allah will say, by my glory, I shall assist you. Even after a while, after some time, I guarantee I will assist you. The person who supplicates in his oppression.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept that. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, beware of the dua of someone against you if you oppress him. Many of us, when we look at oppression, we think we are always the oppressed. We always feel we are the ones who are being oppressed. Right? I'm the one that's getting the short in the street. My boss is oppressing me. My wife is oppressing me. My husband is oppressing me. My children are oppressing me. I'm good. There were so many tyrants, even Firaun probably thought, how bad are these people to me? I'm such a good man, and these people are rebelling against me. What's wrong with them? So many of the tyrants of the world, the dictators of the world, the massacred millions, we believe that they were the victims, and they were doing right. Just how many of us, we don't realize that we are the oppressor. We are the ones that are oppressing. We don't realize it. And these ahadith, these ayat of punishment, refer to Allah protects, refer to us. So oppression, as we said, oppression is taking the haq, the right of someone else. We talk about hukuk, rights. Islam and the Sharia came to enforce the rights of people. People have the right to life. How many Muslims are killing and bombing and destroying lives? The number one priority of the Sharia is to preserve life. If you are taking life, then you are an oppressor of the highest degree. And we find, unfortunately, in the hands of this Muslim ummah, innocent lives lost. The right to his honor and his dignity, even insulting his name, even insulting his feelings, is oppression. It's an oppression. Speaking ill of him behind his back is an oppression. Taking of his property, taking of his wealth, is an oppression. These things Allah has enshrined, it belongs to him. If you take anything of that, by definition, you've taken someone's haq, it's oppression. You ask how you deal with people, how you speak to them, how you deal with their money, how you deal with their honor, their dignity, let alone their life. You can be the oppressor if you deal so, if you're unjust. And this was of the last advices Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave his ummah. Of the last things Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to his ummah on the day of Arafah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hijjatul Wida, the farewell sermon, Nabi says, O people, just as you regard this month of Hajj, and this day of Arafah and this city of Mecca as sacred, as holy, no one at this point in time will dare steal or hurt somebody, right? We're in a holy place. So don't forget, just as those things are sacred, so we regard the life and the property of every Muslim as a sacred trust. Every property, every saint of another Muslim is a sacred trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram. Made haram. So hurt no one, so that no one may hurt you. How you deal with people is how you will be dealt with. Continued warning against oppression. He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is advising us. We may have made sins and mistakes. We spoke ill of someone and harmed his honor. And he still feels the pain because of you, because of me. What we said about him. We may have taken his wealth, cheated him out of something. We may have done something, hurt him physically, stole something from him, harmed his deen, harmed his body. Nabi says, he who has done a wrong, if you've wronged someone, affecting his brother's honor or anything else, even his name, even his feelings, if you've done something and you hurt somebody's feelings, he must ask that person's forgiveness today, immediately, before the time when he will have neither a cent, a dinar or a dirham, neither a rand or a cent to negotiate with. The day is going to come, that debt is still on your balance sheet. Don't think that even 20 years later, he must have gotten over it. That 50 rand I took from him, I never paid him back. He must know. Go back and tell him and make it right. Because a day will come when you won't have money to negotiate with. The only thing you will have are the good deeds that you have done. And if there's a debt against you, Allah will take an equivalent amount of your fasting and your salah and your charity and give to that man. And if we, and this is the case for us, we haven't done many good deeds, we don't have many fasting and charity and salah to give. What else do I need to do, Ya Allah, if I don't have good deeds to pay my debts? Then you take from his sin. You take from his zina, from his stealing, from his haram. And you get the punishment that was the sentence. So the man maybe has 10 years of sentence in Jannah, you will take 10 years of that sentence. Allah protect. So Nabi says, make it right, those books today in the dunya. You've oppressed somebody, you've wronged somebody, sort it out today. Be the bigger person, ask for maaf.
Because in the dunya there's mouth, in the akhirah there's no such thing. Whoever usurps the right of a Muslim by his oath, then Allah has made the fire of Jahannam wajib on him and has made Jannah haram for him. Allah makes anyone who has the right of somebody in his possession, he took someone's right, or he stole something from someone, or hurt someone's honor, and that debt is there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not admit that person to Jannah until that debt is paid. A sin against Allah can be forgiven by Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, if you've transgressed against yourself, against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you didn't perform a salah, something like that, you can come and make tawbah and Allah will forgive. But if you have a sin, a debt against someone else, Allah says, I cannot permit you into Jannah until this debt is paid. And the payment in, as we said in the previous hadith, the payment in Akhirah is through good deeds, through punishment and reward. You need to be punished or give up your rewards to that person. So whoever has taken the right of somebody, until that right is paid, Jannah is haram for you and Jahannam is obligatory on you. And Sahaba even asked, Ya Rasulullah, what if it's something small? A date, a few cents, 50 rands. Small, Ya Rasulullah. Nabi said, even if it's a piece, a twig, a stick that you took that wasn't rightfully yours, one bad word that you hurt someone's feelings, that must be held accountable on Qiyamah. So on this day, and when we look at oppression and freedom, we celebrate and we are happy that Allah had brought an end to the struggle and oppression. But we know that the struggle never ends. That oppression, evil, just takes on a new shape. You don't really win. The battle never ends. It's until we live this life, until we die. It's how best we deal with the evils. So we have been given this great ni'mah and opportunity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liberated us and gave us an opportunity. How do we deal with this freedom? How do we deal with this ni'mah which Allah has given us that has not given so many of the world's people? So many people in the world cannot come to Jumu'ah, even though they want to. So many people in Muslim countries cannot come and perform their salah openly. So many people, Muslims throughout the world, would beg and are fighting and dying to have what we have for free. We take for granted. Therefore, our obligation, when we talk about freedom, we talk about duty, amana. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted you and me something which He had not gifted much and most of the dunya, most of the people of the world. If we live in an age where we can see what's happening in South America, what's happening in Asia, what's happening in India, what's happening in the different countries of the world, because wallahi, I would not say my situation to the situation of most people on the earth. The fact that we have people living in our countries from foreign lands, running away from their homes to come here, at the threat that the people of this country might even harm them, shows you how bad things are in their land, their country. But they stay on in spite of the risk. That's what they live with. Allah has given us this freedom, has given us opportunity. What do we do with this expectation? What are we going to do with this rahmah and this mercy we've been given? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, therefore remember me, and I will remember you. And be grateful to me, and never be ungrateful to me. And the more we know this principle in Islam, that the more shukr we give, Allah will give you. Just at the very least, the very minimum, what do we do, Ya Allah? You've given me this good, this ni'mah. You've given me wealth. You've given me health. You've given me a job. You've given me intelligence. What must I do with it, Ya Allah? What is given to you? Remember, this is given to you over someone else. Not because you have some special, I have some special link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. Allah gives it to you. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? At the very least, you give shukr to Allah. You thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his blessing. But it needs to go beyond that. It's more than just saying, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah. And how many of us say, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, I got to go to Jumu'ah. You say, Ya Allah, you need to reward me. I went to Jumu'ah, right? I did the hard work. No, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, I got to go to Jumu'ah. Working to a standstill, our bosses live and work. In a non-Muslim country, you know, there's 1%, 2%. So, take as much time as you want. Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah. Alhamdulillah, we can walk in the street. Yes, there are risks. We don't have to worry that someone is going to shoot, or, you know, a bomb might fall any moment. Alhamdulillah, at the very least, Alhamdulillah. But it goes beyond that. Nabi Sulaiman, Allah blessed Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam with a lot. He gave him nubuwa, prophecy. And he gave him power like no other Nabi, and kingship. He was a king, and he controlled the wind and the jinn and the animals. So Nabi Sulaiman, he makes dua for this power. He says, "My Lord, grant me the power and the ability." Why? Why? I want to be the man? No. The time may be grateful for your faith. I can give more shukr to you, which you have bestowed on me and on my parents, and that I may use these things to do righteous good deeds that will please you, Ya Allah. Give me so that I may do things that will please you. Give me more so I can make more shukr and use all these blessings for your sake. And admit me by your mercy among your righteous slaves. Ultimately, Ya Allah, I'm the king, but I'm the slave. You are the king. I'm your slave. This is the attitude we should have. The more Allah gives, the more the amana and the mas'uliyah. Right? This is the attitude of Sahaba. The more they were given, the more afraid they got, because they knew every cent I get, I need to account for it. Every blessing I get, I need to account for it. Every freedom I get, every right I get, I was going to ask, how did you use it? How did you use it? So how are we using our freedom? We can use this freedom to watch and look at and go to any place of haram. We can use this freedom to harm others. Use this freedom to disobey Allah in a way that you couldn't. So maybe you're in a country that's oppressive. You don't have the right to move around, but you don't have the ability then to disobey Allah or to oppress someone else. Now you have the freedom and you use it for evil. So what are our obligations? How do we use this freedom correctly? We begin where Allah began. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began with Isra. Alhamdulillah. Education is a blessing. A blessing that you don't realize unless you look at people who don't have the chance to go to school. People who don't have access to ulama. They don't have access to information. But one of the best or one of the worst instruments of oppression is to steal the ability of people to learn. You keep them ignorant and they will stay there forever. They will never be able to rise up. So Allah has given and opened the doors of knowledge to us. You need to learn. You can, with a click of a button, download books and audios and go to lectures upon lectures, the masajid. If you look at into the masjid, you'll find posters of all the classes happening, alhamdulillah, at your feet. Attend free of charge. Come. All you need to do is come and we will facilitate you. It begins the first step in change. And the first amana on us is to learn, is to equip ourselves with knowledge. How much time have we spent? How much have we given knowledge? When the door of knowledge is open to you, what excuse do we have on Qiyamah when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us, you were unable to perform salah correctly, unable to perform wudu correctly, you didn't know the basic laws of Islam. You had the opportunity to learn. Why didn't you learn? What stopped you from learning? This is the question that each and every one of us must ask. Do I know enough about Islam as is required of me? This is the beginning point, Iqra. Everybody, every Muslim, part of your life as a Muslim is to further your knowledge as best as possible. Then of course, the next step, and this is the process of change. If we look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how did he change the world? We want to change the world, right? We want to fix the problem in Syria and Palestine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to be part of the solution, right? How did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam change the world? He started off with himself, grassroots level, and then built up. Start off with the basics. Start off with that which you can control. You can control yourself. Number two, do the basics. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will declare this beautiful hadith of the wali. You want to be a wali? Allah grant us to be of the awliya. How do I do it? What's the recipe to be a wali? What's the step-by-step guide? This is the answer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will declare war against anyone who shows hostility to one of my awliya. And the most beloved thing, and how do you become a wali? The most beloved thing which my slave comes nearer to me, the thing that I love the most, is the thing of the things I have made compulsory on him. The pillars of Islam. The wajibat. The most important things come first. You cannot start with tahajjud if you're not performing the fara'id of salah. You cannot start with jihad if you can't do the basics of siyam, for example. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you begin. You become my wali. The thing I love the most is when you do the basics correctly. Then my slaves keeps on coming closer by doing the additional sunnah stuff, the nawafil. And I begin until I start to love him. The more sunnah he does, I start to love him. Then he becomes, I become his seeing and his hearing and the sense, and I am his hands with which he grips and the legs with which he walks. And if he asks me anything, anything he raises his hands, I will answer. And if he wants protection, I will grant it to him. We speak about the awliya and their karama. They have some abilities. Why? Not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them superheroes. No. Because of the power of their dua. When they raise their hands, Ya Allah, things are difficult. Allah responded immediately. This is step by step. What did they start with? Start with the basics. Start with that Fajr Salah. That's our first challenge. Before we get to the fitna of all those things, the fitna of sleep overpowers most of us. All of us. You know, we struggle with that. Start with the basics. The next step, you have your freedom. What do you do with it? Your family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, oh you believe, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourself and your family from the fire, whose fuel is man and stone. The fuel of Jahannam, people. We are the wood of Jahannam, the fuel of Jahannam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, save yourself. Do what you need to do to save yourself. Do the basics that you need to do. Be the example and the role model. Then your family. The next step is your family. At home, what happens at home, you will be asked about your home before you are asked about outside of the home. Before we are asked what's going to happen in this country or in that city or in that road, what happened in your house? What did your wife do? Your children do? And this is a mas'uliyyah that does not belong to the imam or the khalifa or the amir. In the house, the sultan really, the obligation lies on the husband's responsibility. The deen, the welfare of that family, is the family doing everything it's supposed to be doing, is upon the husband. And of course the mother also has a role. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, save yourself and your family from Jahannam. In the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, all of you are shepherds. All of you are leaders. All of you have responsibility. Today we have one of the problems we do when we look at the issues, the problems. The first thing is, where is the MJC? Where are the ulama? Where is the shaykhsa? They are the ones that must fix the problem. It's true, without a doubt. One of our big problems, we don't have leadership on a community level. Proper, you know, the best of them. There's a room for improvement. We have good leaders, alhamdulillah, but we can do better. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, every one of you are leaders. All of you have responsibilities. All of you have obligation to fix the problem. All of you are shepherds, and each of you is responsible for his flock. The imam, he is shepherd of the people that he's responsible for. And the man is responsible for his family. And the woman, she's a shepherd of the household of her husband and the people, the children in her care. The servant, the worker, even he is a leader because he's given responsibility over certain tasks, certain items. You need to take care of this. He is responsible for those things. You will be asked first. So what have I done as a leader? What have I done? This is the question we ask. Then how do we make change in the world? So this is the step-by-step guide. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam changed the world. Started with knowledge with himself. Allah taught him knowledge. And then he did the basics for himself and those, his family closest to him. Once he's changed each other, once he's changed those around him, now we change society. Now we change the world. How do we change the world? Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu. He asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which of the deeds is best? What's the best thing I can do? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, to believe in Allah and jihad in his cause. This is the best thing you can do. Why? Because he's seeing to himself, and now he's actively going with his wealth and his life to change the world. Then he asks, who is the slave whose emancipation is the best? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, one who is valuable for his master and whose price is high. What charity is the best I can give? The charity that you love the most. This is the best charity. What if I can't afford to do that, Ya Rasulullah? I can't do that. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, help the worker, the artisan, the laborer, or make anything for the unskilled person. Then assist the unskilled person. Abu Darda says, O Messenger of Allah, you see that I'm helpless in doing some of these deeds. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, then desist from doing mischief to the people. That is your charity. To summarize this hadith, Abu Dharr, radiallahu anhu, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, he comes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and says, I want to be the best. Well, who's the best? The best one is the guy who goes out, he sees there's a problem in this area. There are drugs in this area. I'm going to go personally with my wealth and with my life and my time. I'm going to fix it. I see something broken in the masjid. I am going to go and say, here's the tap. I bought it. Let me install it. He sees the issue, the oppression. He goes out with himself and he changes it. Right, that's the best of the best. You are the solution. You don't look for someone else to solve the problem. Alhamdulillah, Allah has provided me with the chance to fix the problem. So, okay, I can't do that. Then the next step is look for someone who needs assistance. I can't fix the problem. You are out there. You are feeding the poor. I can't feed. I can't make the pot of food. You're doing the work, so let me help you. I'm going to give you what I can. You are investing your time. You are the mujahid going out and striving. I'm too weak to do that. At the very least, I'm going to help you, and I'm going to help those fix the problem. What if you can't even do that? I can't go out and fix the problem myself. I can't even help those who are busy fixing the problem. Nabi says, at the very least, you don't make the problem worse. Don't you add to the evil. Let your sin keep it to yourself. We don't have sin. This is your charity. This is your charity. So we remember that we are part of this ummah. That what happens in the rest of the world affects us. And the solution to those problems, we can have the solution. The solution to Palestine might be here in South Africa. The solution in Syria, we can contribute to that. It's not something far away. We can assist in that. When we look at what's happening, xenophobia locally, in our own community, crime and drugs, don't think that you have nothing to contribute. Wallahi, there are brilliant people sitting here. The amount of people in this masjid alone is more than the majority, than the Sahaba for most of the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they changed the world. In numbers, more than enough. In skill, in wealth, we have it. And the answer lies with us. It requires haraka from us. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reminds us the believers in their mutual love and mercy and compassion for one another are like one body. If one organ is harmed, the entire body feels the pain of the fever. And we end up when we remember the ummah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reminds us. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, so when we talk about oppression and freedom, we are reminded, alhamdulillah, we are free. We are reminded that that freedom comes at a price. So when there's still oppression in the world, it's your job, O free people, to stand up against oppression. When there's crime, it's our job to stand up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I shall take revenge on the oppressor in this life and the next. And this is where we come in the next step. I shall take revenge on someone who saw a person being oppressed and he was able to help him, but he did nothing. He did not help him. This is something where we ask Allah, if he saved us from being the oppressor, yeah, Allah, at least, yeah, don't hold us accountable for that which we could do and we didn't do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank him for all the goodness and the blessings he's given us. For the favor of this mercy, this favor of this freedom, that he's given us an opportunity to live and see a miracle in our own time. We ask Allah to help us use what he has given us for goodness and pardon our weakness, to keep us safe, to keep our land, our country safe from oppression and evil, and all the lands of the Muslimin and all the peoples of the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. Jazakallah khair. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Inshallah, just a few short announcements once again that our comment box is empty. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Right? If there's no comments, people only comment when there's something to complain about. But you can also comment if you want to say shukran to the Alhamdulillah. We see it changed by the committee members. The masjid is more beautiful. Alhamdulillah, it's not me. It's our murids, people, you know, who are contributing. We say jazakallah to them as well for the good work that they're doing. We remind of the classes we're doing. Alhamdulillah, part of the initiative from the Masajid of the Bulkaf is we have a character building course that builds up to Ramadan. And it incorporates all the different masajid here in the book up. For our masjid here, Masjid Burhanul Islam, on a Tuesday after 7 o'clock, we learn the biography, the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we look at the akhlaq and the adab of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then there's a notice from the Mahabba Foundation. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Salaamu Alaikum. The Mahabba Foundation is pleased to announce the coming of a biannual spiritual retreat, which starts on the 30th of April, which is held at Masjid Nurul Latif in Makassar. Right, so there's an entry fee, no under 15, it's an age limit for people under 15 are not permitted. Right, and you can contact the Mahabba Foundation for more information. And then on Monday, it's an excellent course. Alhamdulillah, an international organization, Al-Kawthar mentioned it many times, they're coming to give a seminar on the worst of the worst. Who are those unfortunate characters who are on the lowest list of Allah's mercy? Those who are the worst of Allah's creation. Not the wife and not the mother-in-law. No, it refers to Iblis, Shaytan, and Dajjal. Shaytan and Dajjal. Dajjal and Shaytan are two characters we know, but and they know us. They know who we are. It's up to us to know about them and to protect ourselves from them by learning about the evil. So, Alhamdulillah, international speaker from Jordan, Sheikh Mutasim Al-Hamidi, right? You know, he's a those of us who have attended his lectures, excellent, he's a great speaker. He's coming down, he's going to be lecturing in Johannesburg tomorrow, in Durban on Sunday, and then he's coming to Cape Town at UCT at 9 o'clock at the Leslie Social Building. Please attend and please go and learn about this course, something that's very unique, inshallah. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I just want to remind you that there will be a Khatam al-Quran tomorrow evening at the Masajid of Bukab. Masajid of the Bukab, and that this is our annual Khatam al-Quran. It's tomorrow evening, Badal Isha, and everybody is welcome. It's at Upper Kapini Street, the South Emoji. And also on Thursday the 30th, March, that will be a Thursday evening, 30th of April, sorry. At the Leven Street Mosque is the Palestinian program of the Badal Maghrib, and that will follow with the dhikr of the Isha.